Yo.
So how do you feel about the time being different?
Don't like it. Actually, no, I'm good with this one. Oh yeah, no, this is my one.
You fall back and spring forward.
No, I love it. Yeah, this is appropriate. What I don't like about it though, I don't like when it gets dark early.
Yeah.
I feel like it's getting dark early. Like I need my sunshine.
Seasonal depression. You know that's a thing?
I do. I feel like the government should just go 30 minutes and just adjust it, and we're going to rock out the whole year like that. Like, we don't have to cater to the farmers anymore.
Is that what that's about? I don't know where this came from.
Daylight savings is about farmers. Yes.
Mm, that's interesting. Because I do know in other places they don't do this. So, yeah. Like, when I was in St. Bart, they were like, it's the same time every year.
You see what I'm
saying? We don't do this.
And you see how nice it was there? You feel me?
I don't think that had anything to do with the hour.
Yeah, no, that's why. It's like a mind shift change. Okay. Things just get better when you can agree on a singular time for the whole year.
Okay. You want a petition? You want to do something about this? Start a campaign?
Nah, I'll just try to make money and educate people on financial literacy. Just do that.
Yeah, stay in your lane. That's what that sounds like.
Facts.
Okay. Well, we are actually not going to stay in our lane today, which we normally do. We normally talk about the things that we know that are within our wheelhouse. But when there are things that are outside of our wheelhouse, we've got to call in the experts.
And can I just say a couple things? Can I
before
just
tee
this up?
Because no, I know you're about to tee. Before you tee it up, no, right? I do want to say, this is our first guest that we've ever had on our podcast.
And I also want to say this is our 52nd episode.
Oh, yes.
1 year.
1 year.
1 year.
We have not been kicked
off.
Yeah, we have not been kicked off. That's
and
a big
the crowd goes wild.
So now this is like an anniversary celebration. I didn't even realize it was a celebration.
It's a party.
I would have brought cake.
And for such
y'all know
a
how I feel about cake.
Momentous occasion, we decided to celebrate with not just our first guest.
They know that's not true because I didn't even know it was our
but the guest
anniversary episode.
Yeah, I orchestrated
you
today.
You didn't. Okay, sure. You can have that.
I knew we had to bring it a little special today.
You're gonna
we couldn't
it.
Just bring a regular podcast episode. The people have come to expect more from us.
You're going
to
take it too far. I can feel it.
We've got Sylvia K. Austin in the building today.
Yeah. And so for a lot of people who don't know, like outside of Momentum Advisors, we have a major insurance brokerage led by Sylvia K. Austin called Momentum Risk Management. Sylvia is our insurance all things. Oracle? Our insurance
guru
is corny. I feel like guru is real basic. I think Oracle is like a bigger deal.
I'll go with Oracle.
Yeah.
I think she'd agree to that.
We rely on Sylvia for all things insurance. Even when you guys call us and start talking to us about insurance, in our heads, we're thinking, we're just about to send you to Sylvia. So we'll get as much information as we can. But to be honest with you, Sylvia is not only just our insurance Oracle. She's our friend.
Yeah.
I mean, like, real friend.
Oh, yeah. She's our business partner, our friend, big sister. She knows everything about so many different things. We're going to tap into mainly just the insurance knowledge today. We should also keep it going next week. I think we should do like a two-parter.
You're gassing it.
With
Let's
Sylvia.
Just one step at a time. One step at a time. So welcoming our first guest ever on our podcast.
I haven't had a chance to finish
you
introducing
didn't,
her.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Sylvia K. Austin is a
exactly. There's nothing left to say.
She's the managing partner of Momentum Risk Management.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And I'm here.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. Let's get it going.
Morgan State University, which is where we met.
Yes.
She's from New Jersey.
You want to tell all her business? You want to give her street address?
No, please don't do that.
Mother of three.
Wife. So welcome, Sylvia. Welcome. We are glad to have you
daughter,
on the podcast.
Sister friend.
Alan can go on forever. Yes. Child of God. All the above. Baptized in the Holy Spirit. We got it.
Yeah.
Listen, Tiff, I was digging at Oracle. I think I want Orisha, though. I'm like,
okay.
You know
a little bit
saying?
A cultural flair.
A cultural flair.
Okay.
An African-inspired cultural flair. Wearing yellow. Not today, but, you know, most days.
So I like Orisha. I feel like we can own that as a people. Yeah.
I'm here for you, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, so we are glad to have you here today. We got a ton of questions.
Glad to be here.
And right now, I mean, this is open enrollment, right? Like right now people are getting all, I literally get like 3 emails a day. Like, did you know about open enrollment? Don't forget about open enrollment. We got something for open enrollment. So for people who need to know, like, first of all, you need to apply or reapply, or you're curious, or you've never known exactly what open enrollment is. And what's the difference between open enrollment and Obamacare? Like, is there a difference? But I got insurance at my job. Like, there's a number of questions.
Right.
And we got to get answers.
Yes.
We have to get answers today.
Yeah, we need answers. And I think I have a few.
Yeah. Okay. So I know open enrollment's just started, right? And it runs through December, mid-December.
It really depends. If we're talking about the Affordable Care Act, which is offered through our U.S. government,
okay.
healthcare.gov.
Big shout to Barack Hussein Obama.
Who created the healthcare system in this country? They weren't.
Yeah.
They didn't like Obamacare.
They didn't like Obamacare.
But they liked the Affordable Care Act. They not realizing... It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if we're talking about that, right, I think what happens often is that the conversation around open enrollment gets wrapped in, right? So open enrollment is like a national thing that happens in this country. If you work for a company or a corporation, there's an open enrollment period, which normally begins somewhere after October 1st, okay? The healthcare.gov system that we use in this country, that began on November 1st, right? And runs through January?
I think it's December 15th.
Well, so the dates are changing. December 15th is the date that you're supposed to enroll by, but there's also a special enrollment period that gives you a little bit more time to get in. Right up until January.
Just so we're clear to our listeners.
Handle your business.
Right.
Before.
Handle it early, please. Don't be like, well, I know they're going to put a little something on it, or there might be an extension.
Right.
So I'm going to just wait. This is for you, if this is something that you need to apply for or you're interested in, please just do it before December 15th.
December 15th is the buzzword, right? But by January 15th, 22, if you're not in, you're out.
Wow. Yes. And so that's the thing that always like is super shocking
off,
to me.
Right.
Like, so I have 45 days or 60 days
exactly.
to get insurance, or it's a wrap
or
for me for
wrap.
The rest of the year.
That's unless you qualify for a special enrollment reason, like you got a divorce or you got married or you lost a job or you had a child and that child is not going to be picked up by your healthcare coverage.
Okay, so if
or one, somebody that covered you under their healthcare plan died.
Damn.
That these are special enrollment reasons.
So if one of those things happens, do you go to healthcare.gov?
Yes. You have
really?
To you can go to healthcare.gov throughout the year. Now coverage begins. This enrollment period is not for coverage to begin immediately. The enrollment period from November 1st to December 15th is for coverage that will begin on January 1st, 2022.
So you still gotta chill out through the holidays.
You gotta hang out because
just keep it close to home.
That's it.
Okay. Till you get through the holidays, do not wild out immediately.
No wilding out, right? Unless you have, you know, something else going on. I don't know. But no wilding out because coverage begins calendar year, January 1st, 2022.
And now it's on.
And then it's on.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the process because I have used healthcare.gov. Alan, have you used healthcare.gov?
I'm sure I have.
That means you haven't.
No,
so
I have. But...
use it myself, right? So yes. I've gone on healthcare.gov and filled it. And I will tell you, the first time I did it, I was intimidated.
Okay.
Right? Because I was like, I don't know what this is. And I felt like they're going to ask me for a bunch of information I don't have. But it was fairly simple. I will say it took like 15 minutes. Like they do ask a lot of questions, but they were questions that I could answer without having to dig through some paperwork.
Absolutely.
Right? And then, but at the end, I'm like, so what happens next? Right? They just kind of take your information and they're kind of like, well, we'll holler at you, or like they give you some options. For people who have never gone through the process before, are there any things that like people need to look out for or should be mindful of, especially when it's an individual versus like a whole family?
So the online process, right, is really been improving, especially since the system was originally created. For many of us, we have a healthcare kind of like a underwriting scorecard. Right. So there's information about you that's available through a medical information bureau. Have you ever heard those terms?
No,
I've heard of Men in Black.
Wait,
is that similar or not?
Stupid can see the look on my face. Like, I'm sorry. Excuse me.
So it's like a credit bureau for your health.
It is most definitely.
It's
a credit bureau for your health. So if you've had health coverage before or in the past, right, there's a medical information bureau report that exists, it's medical insurance bureau report that exists. And that report gives information about your health to the insurance company.
Can we look this up for ourselves? Like, just to see what our credit score is? And there's no like medical karma or anything.
So technically the answer is yes. Just like a credit report, it follows you. So if there's information that needs to be updated or changed, you can reach out to the people who facilitate the medical insurance bureau report, and they will give you that information. If there's an issue with your insurance bureau report, you should contact them to go through it and kind of like work through that. But yes, it does follow you. It's like a health credit report. But if that exists for you, then there's information out there about you. And so if you go through the ACA and complete the enrollment application, then it typically will go to a case manager, but most times they have the information, it will just pick up from your last plan onto this plan as of January 1st or special enrollment date, right? And then you kind of just go from there. But yes, there are times where people need a little bit more, right? Because they have specific situations or healthcare information that maybe needs to be disputed. And that information is when you have to pick up the phone. And
I probably have an 800 on my score.
You don't even know.
You probably have like a 650.
An 800 on your...
On my medical credit score.
I doubt it.
It's not done in numbers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So to me, what this says, though, is that like you can't lie, right? Like, do you have pre-existing conditions? Is that like something that exists on your report? So if you're like, no, I'm perfectly healthy and I'm the perfect weight and everything is great, they're like, you use a lie. Like, you got diabetes, you had a heart attack 2 years ago.
You can say what you want, but yes, this information does follow you. Much like a credit report follows our fiscal responsibility, this follows our health responsibility. And yes, that information is available.
There is a phone number I found online, by the way, for MIB, MIB.com. I'm not making this up. 866-692-6901.
Yes.
To request your...
What do you even say? Like, hey, this is Tiffany Hawkins, and I just want to... can you give me my medical score?
Well, here's the thing. There are times, right, when people get a diagnosis that maybe is incorrect, and that information goes into their health records. And then you want to dispute that when you go to maybe buy life insurance or disability insurance.
So life insurance sees this too?
All of this is factored. Health insurance, disability insurance, life insurance, all of them use the Medical Insurance Bureau report.
That's unfair.
And the information from that, yeah. And let me tell you what else. The pharmacy records. So during the time of COVID, right, this is a little Snapple fact for you guys. During the time of COVID, when nobody was coming in people's homes to take blood for life insurance purposes, what they were using to certify whether or not you were telling them the truth was your pharmaceutical records, your backgrounds, the medicines that you were ordering. That's how they would determine what kind of health you were in, what medicines you were on, what conditions you had.
That's snitching.
You're doing a lot of
and snitches get stitches, you know?
Can we slow down on the ad-lib thing? It's a bit much. It's more than normal. You all right?
Okay. It's your first guest. That's it. You know what I mean? He's excited.
First of all, I know you're not talking.
Like, I don't ad-lib.
The last 2 weeks,
I mean, you've been I have doing a lot to a say, but I don't ad lib.
Takeover.
I mean, I definitely get off on my tangent.
I'm the ad lib guy.
Can we dial it back? Alan is super excited that Sylvia's here.
I am.
As I am also.
I'm really happy to see you guys, though. It's been so long.
You're okay. Dialing it up. Right now.
Dial it down.
Yeah, just a
little
bit.
Everybody's enjoying it. Buckle on.
Okay. All right.
I'm ruining it right
so
now.
So one question that I know people have asked and I'm unclear about, if I have a job and my job provides healthcare, do I still need to go through the open enrollment process? Do I go through it with HR? Or it's a new job, so I'm not completely sure on how things work. Like, if you have a job that provides health care, do you need to still go through the healthcare.gov open enrollment process?
No, you do not. It all depends on what you choose to do. There are some people who decide, I have health coverage at this rate, at this price through healthcare.gov. I don't want to take my company's services or healthcare offerings until the next open enrollment period. You can remain if you have coverage already through healthcare.gov. You can remain with them. But you also do not have to take coverage through the federal system if your company offers private insurance. And many people who work for corporations or companies that have private health insurance, they choose to take the insurance coverage that their company offers.
Right. Which I think is a little bit more familiar. But for people who don't have health insurance provided through their employer or are entrepreneurs or self-employed, I know healthcare.gov is definitely the move.
Yeah, I mean, you can also buy insurance for self-employed. They can buy insurance through the private insurance market too. But what happens with people who are self-employed, and we're in this funny situation, right? Fortunately, my husband is employed, and I'm able to buy insurance. I'm able to get insurance through his plan. But if I had to provide my own insurance, I would definitely go through healthcare.gov, because what it does for us, and I don't think that this gets talked about enough, is it's subsidized based on income, right? Mm-hmm. And that's helpful for so many Americans in this country, because healthcare expenses are completely exorbitant, right? When you work for an employer, usually what will happen is they pay a portion of the coverage and then you pick up the rest. Sometimes it's 70-30, sometimes it's 60-40, sometimes it's 50-50. With healthcare.gov, you're really responsible for your payment in full, but it is subsidized based on your income. And that's helpful for a lot of people in this country.
Yeah, there's some employers, though. A lot of employers
don't subsidize at all.
Offer a policy,
right? But they don't pay anything towards it.
Full boat.
Yep, it's true.
And honestly, I probably believe our listeners don't know that, right? Like, you believe, like, if my employer is providing me a health insurance plan, I'm sure it's being offset. You just assume that it's being offset, but you probably aren't paying attention. You haven't asked HR. So for a lot of people listening, you should at least check, like, see what your employer is covering when it comes to your healthcare. Because if they're not covering anything, it might make sense for you to go to healthcare.gov and explore your own insurance options.
Right. And so for the open enrollment period, I just want to kind of like dispel a few myths about it. The open enrollment period happens at most companies, right? And it doesn't happen at the same time. It traditionally happens in the fourth quarter of the year, of the calendar year, because that's when companies get a chance or an opportunity to sit back and decide what their expenses, they're forecasting for the following year. So they're forecasting their expenses and what they will look like, what they'll offer. But so many times in this country, when an open enrollment period happens, right, when you work for a company, what winds up happening is that people do not attend the open enrollment meetings. And now they've become so much easier, right? If you have a healthcare company, what they'll do is they'll do a virtual presentation. That is the one time of year that as an employee, you get to find out what your employer thinks about you, what your employer is putting up in terms of benefits for you. That's when it happens. If you don't attend those meetings, if you don't find out what the offerings are of the company, you don't find out again until the following calendar year.
So I'm going to ask you this question, Alan, because I know when I was a part of corporate America, I've never heard of an open enrollment meeting in my whole entire life.
Really?
No.
And you've worked for some major companies.
Major companies. I don't ever remember being invited. Now, it might have been inside
I think you were partying and traveling and weren't paying
potentially,
attention.
But I also think it was like buried in a packet, in an envelope that somebody left on my desk that I didn't really pay that much attention to.
I'm sure.
At the back, it was like, on this date at this time, you should log in for this thing or you should attend this thing. Previously, in your previous world, Alan, when you were working in corporate America, had you ever attended an open enrollment meeting?
That would be no. Yeah, there was a...
Are you serious?
They would post like on an intranet site, like, and they would email you and tell you to do stuff. And nah, it was like daunting. You're like, man, I'm sure it's going to be straight.
Let me pick something
from the book.
Like, you're saying this, and I believe that you're telling the truth, but I've never heard of this. I've never seen this. And so I'm going to assume that a lot of our listeners are a lot more responsible than Alan and I. And so you've heard of an open enrollment meetings at your employer, but just in case you haven't, you should ask. You should ask, and you should ask questions. And even if you're like, yeah, the open enrollment meeting isn't for another 10 months, well, you're like, listen, I'd like to have a one-on-one to get some understanding around when it comes to healthcare benefits. What do you guys cover? Not what do you offer, but what do you cover?
Well, here's the thing. If you don't attend the meeting, if you forget, if you ignore the email, if you ignore the Zoom link, or you just walk right past the meeting door when it's happening, that is the time, with whatever date they give you, if it's October 1st to November 1st or November 1st to December 1st, that time window is the only time you will get to make a change to your healthcare coverage for the year. So if you don't elect your coverage, that's the right word. If you don't elect your coverage, then you get the basic rollout that the company is offering. And some people are in specific situations where they can't afford basic coverage. Basic coverage may mean you don't get an eye exam, right? Or you only get one eye exam, but you don't get vision care and you have horrible vision.
So you can give me the results. You can tell me I can't see, but we can't do anything about it, is what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
This is getting very disrespectful.
I'm just saying.
We've got a lot more tips and myths to uncover and more questions for Sylvia. So just stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Hi, this is Donnie Rose, Chief Content Editor here at The North Star, encouraging you to check out thenorthstar.com every day for insightful, engaging commentary on the stories that impact our culture. The writers at The North Star make it our mission to advocate, mobilize, agitate, and disrupt in the name of creating liberation-centered content. We unapologetically center the narratives of Black, Brown, and Indigenous people. We understand that you can get news from anywhere, so we are more interested in offering perspective that speaks to the experiences of our audience. We write freely and with freedom on our minds. We invite you to indulge in our daily editorials and engage in the dialogue that will change the world. Momentum.
So we are back.
Yes.
And we are talking open enrollment with our special guest and very good friend and business partner, Sylvia K. Alston.
The illustrious. The Orisha.
Yes. The yes.
In the building.
Yes.
In the building.
Absolutely. So before we went to break, we were just talking about like what happens if you don't participate in the open enrollment option that's available with your employer.
Mm-hmm.
And you are saying that it kind of just defaults to some very, very basic insurance. Like if you don't attend the meeting or participate in any type of way, you just kind of get thrown to the bottom of the barrel.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the only time it will change is if you have what we call the special enrollment, right? Like we mentioned, it has to be a life qualifying event that will allow you to, you know, challenge the coverage or make a change to it. And the life qualifying event is you get fired from that job. Or you decide to get married and now your new spouse is going to take your coverage. You can make a change to add on a spouse. That doesn't mean you get to change the coverage that you already.
So you can share your basic insurance.
You can share your basic insurance with your new spouse,
okay.
Right? Or you had a baby, you got pregnant, you got a divorce. These are qualifying reasons why you get an opportunity to make a change to your coverage. But again, what you enrolled into for the calendar year is what you will be in until the next calendar year.
So this also makes me think about stay-at-home moms, like stay-at-home moms who are relying on their husband's income and benefits. He's definitely not going to the open enrollment meeting. Like, he's definitely not participating.
Correct.
And now you got some basic ass insurance, mm-hmm. and neither one of y'all are even aware or taking responsibility for it. So you have to, and this is for everybody, stay-at-home moms, independent ladies, all the men, whatever. This is the season. Like, this is more than likely the season. This is a very timely conversation. Please ask your HR person, when is our open enrollment meeting?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's passed, that's fine. We should still be in some sort of period where you can have the conversation about what you are receiving, what type of benefits you are receiving, and any changes that you want to make. Because the other thing that I wanted to talk about when it comes to healthcare, which I think a lot of people don't understand or grow very concerned about, is like the premium versus the deductible. What do I have to pay out of pocket? Because I think, as you mentioned earlier, healthcare is very expensive. And people think about the out-of-pocket premium, but they don't factor in all the other expenses that might make things more expensive or that should be factored in to making decisions around what's the best healthcare for you, whether it is through healthcare.gov or your employer.
Yeah. So normally when these conversations happen, we are typically in the best health or in better health than we actually know about. Right. So we make these decisions based on what's in front of us, what we know we haven't used in the past. Right. And under the expectation, I won't really need this in the future. But there are special circumstances, and a lot of people in this country have sick children, they have sick spouses, or they may be sick themselves, and they know that there's a certain window or amount of coverage they can afford to put out of pocket on their own before they qualify for the full coverage picking up from the healthcare system, right? Depending on who you work for, that conversation can be, I can say we were in a situation prior to 2008 where the healthcare system was very broken. I would say a lot has been repaired, but it's a still very complicated, challenging, and broken system that needs a lot of work. You've got people putting money out of pocket for insurance, sometimes in the thousands of dollars, depending on how many people they have in their home. A family of four can cost somewhere in the neighborhood of about $2,000 a month for insurance, even more, you know, and that will a lot of times depend on the size of the organization that you work for, the benefits that are available in the state that you live in. There's a number of different factors that go into the equation.
And when you talk about that $2,000 a month, that's just the premium.
That's just the premium. That has absolutely nothing to do with the deductible.
Right. And I think we got to break down the difference between like those terms, right? These out-of-pocket terms. There's the premium, there's a deductible, there's a copay.
Co-insurance is another term that we should break down.
Yeah, yeah. So the deductible normally means the out-of-pocket maximum that you have to pay as one person or a family to qualify for benefits before what we say the window opens, the window of coverage opens, right? So that's how much money do you have to put out on an annual basis towards the deductible to meet the maximum deductible before your insurance company pays for all. Right.
And they don't count the premiums as a part of that.
That does not count.
Shady.
Does not count towards the premium. Right. So in some plans, it could be a 90% plan with a 10% deductible.
So I have to pay 10% of the plan for it to activate.
Before it activates, before the window opens and you get to the coverage, right?
Well, who do I pay this to? Like, okay. So y'all throw out a number and say, this is how much your insurance plan, the value of your insurance plan.
Well, here's the other thing. It matters how often you go to the doctor.
Now everybody's going to be determining, like, am I really, really that sick? Can I just lay down? Can Robitussin? Can I eat more vegetables?
A little ginger ale and saltine crackers and I should be good. Okay. So depending on how many times you go to the doctor a year, right, that helps you to meet your out-of-pocket maximum deductible towards your insurance coverage, towards your when the coverage kicks in and the window opens and all of the coverage comes in. A lot of people don't go to the standard appointments, though. They may go see their primary care physician once a year. They don't see a vision doctor. They don't go for women. They may not go to see their gynecologist, right? So you are not working towards those deductibles. You have to work towards deductibles, the deductible plan maximum, in order for the coverage window to come.
And it resets every year.
It resets every year, but it also depends on how much the premium looks like. I mean, like in New York State, right? A company of maybe 10 people, that can cost about $80,000 a year.
In the premium. That the company pays.
That the company can pay. They can pay a portion of, or the employee can pay a portion of. You get to elect as an employer whether you'll pay the $80,000 or whether you will push that on to the employee. But what happens is some employees will say, I can't afford that, so I'm just not going to buy into the plan at all, which makes the plan a little bit more exorbitant. And what's happening in states like New York and New Jersey, you're not required to offer health insurance. And so a lot of employers, especially now that the healthcare plan exists, they don't, because it is cheaper for people to get coverage individually than as an employer to offer that coverage and go through the plan maximums, the plan deductibles, and that type of thing.
So I'm just going to put our business out in the street, as I tend to do. So in our dry cleaners, right, like we have hourly employees, and so we don't offer healthcare benefits.
You know, the feds are listening.
Listen, it's not
it doesn't have anything to do with that. Right, it's not required.
So, but
in those states.
For our salaried employees, what we offer is you find your insurance plan and we reimburse you on a monthly basis. Like you find the plan
up
that
to
works.
A percent, right?
No.
That's okay. Great. That's very gracious.
Yes, we will reimburse you. We are not, like I said, we're not going to go out and get one of these $80,000 plans, but you as an individual, go find the healthcare insurance that works for you. And as long as you bring us the invoice on a monthly basis, we pay for it.
I think
monthly.
That's very gracious. I think that's very gracious as an employee.
Thank you.
You're one of the greatest places.
Now,
to
just a minute ago, you were shook. Just a minute ago, you were.
He said
concerned.
The feds will listen. The feds will listen.
Well, as we acquire more dry cleaners, we will ultimately want into.
We're not
some
there yet.
Challenges
we're not there yet.
This,
we're so. Going to keep doing exactly what we're doing okay. For right now.
Once we get to
but
a certain number, though, you know.
We're not there yet. Okay. But it's interesting because we also have a client who we were a part of them building out their healthcare benefits. And they were like, we want to make sure we pay 100% for everybody.
And
we
they
were
saw
like, so they saw their number.
Right.
Right. Exactly.
We were like, you're wilding. And so what we ended up deciding was a meaningful flat number. Right. So they get to decide each employee gets to, you know, log into a dashboard and pick out whatever healthcare that they want. But we would cover a portion, a flat
dollar
number.
Amount.
And for most of the employees, the dollar amount that this client covered was more than what they selected. For others who had special healthcare conditions and
right.
Probably now that I know had bad credit scores on their health, oh, their medical credit score, it was a lot more expensive. And it was like, that don't have nothing to do with us.
Right. Yeah. And see, what the other thing that the Affordable Care Act was designed to do was to make sure that insurers didn't get the ability to price based on health, because that was happening quite a bit as well. Like if I have 100 employees and I know out of these 100 employees, 40 of them have spouses, and out of those 40 spouses, 30 are sick, right? If that information is available to me, then we price according to that. Mm-hmm. The healthcare plan was also designed to make sure that we were not charging people more money based on their health outcomes. And which is why when it's working properly, right, and when people are utilizing the plan and the system, millions of people are using the healthcare system, and I don't think we talk about it often enough, that it has been stabilizing for so many people in this country and companies and small businesses, because like we said, the costs are just exorbitant.
So I'll be honest, it was very helpful for me starting out as an entrepreneur. Like, I mean, as most entrepreneurs do, you have a couple years where you just don't have no insurance and you're
right.
Just taking your vitamins.
And you run it and you're risking it all.
Yeah, you're risking it all. Seriously.
Riding dirty.
And then
riding dirty. Exactly.
You know, Obamacare came out and that was like a saving grace for me. Mm-hmm. And I still use healthcare.gov and I like using it and I like the level of healthcare that I get. I have no issues whatsoever. But
and know, each year you get to choose
yes,
whether or not you want to make a change.
That
or a
is
choice.
My favorite part.
Yeah. Yeah
that,
you
that
get to
is,
choose.
Because
yeah.
You know, when I first started off, it was the basic, like Sylvia said, like we could do an eye exam, but we can't do nothing about it. And, you know, I'm a lot farther along, you know, with that. But
you're turning a corner.
I've turned this corner. I feel good about it. But I think I appreciate the fact that they were able to meet me where I was, like their levels. And so
exactly.
It met me at my level and that's what I could take at the time. But as you mentioned, like as you start to take those corners and hit new levels, you start to recognize other costs, right? So it's not just the out-of-pocket premium. Right now, I got a copay. Or if I need to get my prescription, like now do I have to pay for it all outright? Is it a $5 copay? And then these are things that I don't think people think about when they're making the greater decision around what's the best healthcare insurance for them.
Yeah, so private insurance plans are really tricky. We hear about $5 copays, but for honestly, I see $5 copays at this juncture for people like very, very, very large groups. So like union-led organizations, companies that have more than 500 employees. Those are the companies that still have enough people paying into the system where they can offer something like a $5 copay. For many private companies, right, for many corporations that exist in America today, the people are maybe their 400 employees or less. And when you see those kinds of companies, they traditionally have copay systems for their for their PharmaCare, where you see at least $25 for a copay. That's much more standard than the $5 copay.
So I haven't had a prescription in a very long time, right? So I don't know. But Alan, you...
Really?
When do we not put each other's business
out here? Is this a HIPAA violation right
no,
now?
No, it's not.
Are you just putting my MIB on blast right now?
You have a prescription. You have like an ongoing prescription.
Yes.
You mind me asking?
It's a vitamin.
I didn't ask what it was. I'm asking.
It's a vitamin.
What's your copay?
It's erectile dysfunction medicine.
We don't want to know.
No one wants that.
We don't want to know.
Nobody wants that.
It is not that.
And I wouldn't know about that.
I can assure you. Okay.
We don't want to know. Yes.
It's for asthma. Thank
yes.
you very much.
And so.
So yeah, my copay now is like reasonable. It's like 20, 25, 30 bucks. But there was a time when I had to pay 50%. Like it was like a co-insurance because this was viewed as kind of like a designer prescription drug. So it didn't have the same treatment as more of a generic drug. And that was a huge hardship at one point because
yeah.
I was self-employed at the time. And that medicine was 300 bucks. So I'd have to pay 150, you know, to go get it. And I have to get this every single month.
And that's just
month.
A 30-day supply, right?
That's 30 days.
Yeah.
And then you start doing stuff like, well, instead of taking it twice a day, maybe I take it once a day. Like this is what you see older people doing.
Absolutely.
Because now you've got this intersection of your budget and your medical needs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've definitely had a conversation with my mom years ago where she was like, listen, I don't feel like I can retire because I won't be able to afford my prescriptions. And I'm like, damn, is it like that? You know what I mean? And so we had to look at her prescriptions and we now know that's not the case. Like she's fine. But she was genuinely concerned. She was like, you know, the out-of-pocket costs for these prescriptions are something that I don't think I'll be comfortable paying without having a full-time job.
Yeah. I don't think that, you know, when campaigns and people are, when we talk about political campaigns and you see this happening, most times people are not really paying attention to what the hot button item is for so many people in this country. And for so many people in this country, it truly is healthcare and the costs of it. And them not being in a position, a financial position, to be able to afford the care that they need.
Yeah. So we should talk about some other open enrollment stuff, too, because it's not just your healthcare that you're choosing at this time. Often there's other things that you're picking.
Ancillary items like disability.
Time.
Yeah. And supplemental care.
Let's give some time to some of these other things, because this is like important stuff. Because is there also this limited window, or if you don't pick it by December 15th, or even if it's January 15th, are you kind of...
Well,
not so, able to change.
So we're mixing two conversations, right? So the Affordable Care Act, those deadlines exist. That is for health care. Mm-hmm. Okay. When we talk about ancillary care that you may buy as an employee of a company, right? Or we offer it at right as employers in our firm, there's other ancillary items like disability coverage,
so
right?
Wait,
you pick it all at the same time.
I'm super glad that you said that we're talking about two totally different things because I was about to be pissed. I was about to say I go to healthcare.gov. Every year, no one's offered me any. Sylvia was the first person to offer me disability insurance.
Absolutely.
I'm like, did I skip a page? Are there other options out here that have never been presented to me on healthcare.gov? So they are separate.
They are completely separate.
I was
separate.
About to be very upset that I've never been offered these things.
Completely separate, decided during open enrollment at the same time,
got
but
you.
Normally only when we're talking about private companies.
Okay.
When we're talking about the public option that is offered through the healthcare system from this company,
we
are
options.
Only talking about healthcare.
Okay.
Okay. When we talk about ancillary items like disability and supplemental coverage,
that's
employer paid insurance or stuff that you can buy on your own through companies like Aflac. They offer work loss, they offer accident and health. Those kinds of coverages that you buy on your own, there is no open enrollment period for that unless you bought it through your employer. If you buy it on your own, which you can do, right? And Aflac was a game changer when they came on the scene because that didn't exist for so many people before. But most times we're talking about ancillary coverages like supplemental disability, work loss and accident coverage.
So can
that
you break,
exists
through- break these things down a little bit?
Because yeah.
I think there's some folks that just are checking boxes and not realizing what they do.
Yeah. So accident coverage. So ancillary coverages are the coverages that are not healthcare, medical care. That's box A would be medical care, healthcare, right? Box B is going to be disability. That you're protecting your income. You're protecting your ability to make an income, right? And we know that our greatest asset, a lot of people think their greatest asset is their car.
Good looks.
Their Audi. You have all of that. You have all of that. Their house, right?
You definitely think it's your house.
You think it's your house. No, your greatest asset is your ability to make an income.
That's a fact.
Because that is how most people are able to afford the things that they have in their lives. Most people are not invested, well invested, like you guys do, like I do. Their biggest asset is their ability to make an income. So they have to go to work. Disability insurance protects them in the event that they are no longer able to work, do the thing that they once did, right? A lot of people in this country, you think we're talking about a lot of people don't have health care. Just imagine how many people do not have disability.
Well, we know
coverage.
This because we talk to people, and a lot of times when listeners reach out, that's one of the first things that we say is that you need to have disability insurance. I will, again, put both of us. Well, no, you probably have
I have disability.
Shout out to you
Thank you very much.
Didn't, okay? I didn't have disability insurance until Sylvia got me some disability insurance.
Right.
That's a fact. And and explaining it to me the same way that she's explaining it to you guys, I was really blown away. And not only was I blown away by the fact that like, oh yeah, this is a thing that I obviously need. I was then blown away by the cost.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's cheap. Like,
yeah,
it's not that
it was
expensive.
Way less expensive than I thought it would be.
Right. Yeah. Because we buy it, it's about the way we buy it. When you buy it on your own, right, it's traditionally more expensive because you're being graded by your actual health. When you buy disability insurance in a group plan that's maybe offered through your employer, right? The thing is, we're the employers, right?
Right.
Right? Yeah. So that's the thing. But most people in this country work for a private company, or they work for the public health system, or they work for a government entity. Those people buy insurance a little bit different than we do, right? So if you work for a private employer, or if you work for a government system, you are offered your healthcare coverage and your disability coverage at the same time. You have to elect it at the same time, but it's two totally different things. But disability insurance can cost as much as like $6 a paycheck. And so a lot of times people don't have it, depending on what state you're in, because it is state specific. In states like, let's say, New Jersey, right? It will cover up to 65% of your salary.
Tax-free.
Well, you pay the tax on going in.
But the income is tax-free.
You don't pay it towards the benefit.
Okay. So I need more information on these other ancillary things. So stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
It's the pathway to freedom. It's leading to the North Star.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out.
So we are back.
Yes.
We are learning all things. Insurance is a very timely conversation because it is actually open enrollment.
Sure is.
We are learning, if you did not already know, that if you do not get your insurance, if you don't get your insurance decisions made during this period of time, you are ass out for the rest of the year. And so we've been talking about, again, healthcare.gov and your health insurance, but then all of the other important ancillary insurances that we probably don't pay attention to at all. So we were talking about disability insurance. What else do we need to be paying attention to during this open enrollment period?
So there could be other coverage items like accident insurance, which will give you work loss or money, additional money. It'll pay because here's the thing. You get medical coverage, healthcare coverage, right? If an accident happens, if you're involved in an accident, in any kind of accident. If you work, I don't know, let's say on a lift and you fall off of that lift and you're hurt. If you're in a car, right, we could be talking about you get medical insurance through your driver's accident policy, but you would also get it through your normal healthcare policy, medical policy. But accident insurance, if you're injured for a time and cannot work, medical coverage is not going to pay the income that you're losing during the time that you're out of work. So that accident coverage is going to give coverage towards work loss. It's going to give supplemental payments that will help you pay your bills while you're out of work.
Is that the one that says dismemberment in the name? I used to be like, what? Why do I need this?
Why would you need a desk?
How am I getting dismembered at work?
Something could fall on you.
Yeah, it could.
A ceiling tile?
Yeah. So that
am
term.
Am I getting dismembered though?
That term.
There's an elevator. You can be in the elevator.
Am
at
I
work?
Getting mangled that badly
it fell.
In
you
an office?
See these movies
context?
In the elevator. Just
that, what is that destination?
Yeah,
that,
yeah. They fall final out destination. On the bottom.
My kids watch that all
like
the time.
Like fire marshal bill. Let me show you something.
Yeah, there's a lot.
There's a lot of things that can happen.
But yes. Is this the same policy, the accidental death, or
so
is that something different?
There's supplemental accident insurance, okay. Right, which will give you work loss pay and coverage. What you're referring to is accidental death and dismemberment, which you typically see as another supplemental feature on a life insurance contract. Mm-hmm. That will pay you extra money. So let's say you buy a life insurance policy for $100,000 with $100,000 accidental death and dismemberment. Mm. That means if you die by accident, you would get $200,000 as opposed to getting...
die by accident?
No, not necessarily.
Sometimes you could just have a heart attack and just go...
accidentally?
No, you don't...
You mean
no.
to have a heart attack?
But so...
accident.
Accidental supplement or supplemental accidental.
Yes.
Does that accident have to happen at work or can it happen
anywhere
and it kicks in?
Anywhere.
To support my income.
To support your income.
So on the weekend, I could be doing backflips in the backyard.
Yeah. So Tiffany, what you're referring to is workers' comp.
Because as an employer, people love throwing workers' comp at me.
Yeah.
Listen, people get injured at our dry cleaners all the time. And the first thing they say is workers' comp. I'm like, you were on your break.
On your break.
You were outside.
Don't
do that.
Yeah, so workers' comp insurance is an accident at work. That's what that covers. And employers will typically carry that.
Can I just tell you one of my scariest moments as a business owner? In one of our gyms, we had a 45 plate slide off of a pole and crack a member in the head.
I remember you telling
me this. I was like, oh, Lord, they're going to shut us down.
Yeah.
It's over.
I remember you telling me this. Is this person okay today?
We don't know.
Yes, we paid for their medical care.
We assume they're doing just fine.
We know that they're doing right.
Alan does. I don't know what at all. But okay, so what other insurances should we be paying attention to during this open enrollment period?
During open enrollment, I think we should be paying attention to number one, medical insurance and health insurance. Those are one and the same. Make sure that you have medical health care coverage. B, dental and vision. Do you need your teeth fixed? Mm. Do you need braces? Do your kids need braces?
I always thought they were the same. I always thought they were a package deal.
They are not. And there are some companies out here in the world who offer dental and vision and do not offer health, or they offer health and they do not offer dental and vision.
To me, I always thought that medical included
was all encompassing.
Yeah, it was all of it.
It's not. I can tell you this though. If you have a medical event, right, where you have one of these accidents that Alan is talking about, and let's say someone knocks your teeth out, that is medical coverage. Like they will restore what happened to your mouth in a hospital or a doctor's
office.
Talking
about cleaning.
That will be,
I get my teeth cleaned?
No, a teeth cleaning. Orthodontia, that is not picked up by a medical plan or a health plan.
But I will
all.
Say, depending on your vision issue, if it's an ophthalmologist, your medical might cover
it. Medical might cover it if it's once a year, right? So if you get an eye exam once a year, that will be picked up by your medical coverage.
Mm-hmm. Life hack.
Right. If you need glasses and you need to see
an optometrist.
Several times a year, that's not going to be covered.
Yeah.
You need vision care for that.
Can give you a prescription for your glasses.
They can.
That's how I get over.
But somebody's got to pay for the glasses.
They do.
Yeah. Well, then
meaning you.
Inexpensive glasses websites.
So So this is a hack, right? And I learned this from one of our friends and clients. I've been wearing contacts since I was 10 years old. I get an eye exam every year. I like to make sure I have glasses and contacts on hand in case, there's something going on. Mm-hmm. And I used to pay a lot of money. I used to pay a lot of money for prescription eyeglasses, especially if you want something cute and designer. And then I learned about this company, and this is not an ad. I'm just trying to save y'all some money.
Cut the check, though, if you work for them.
Zeelool.com.
I've never heard of them.
Yes. So a really good friend and client put me on because we were in a Zoom, and she had these cute glasses on. And she was like, I just ordered like, you know, 8 prescription glasses. And I'm like, you got it like that? But turns out you go to Zeelool.com, you put in your prescription, and you can get, I mean, they have thousands of options of dope prescription glasses for like anywhere between like $12 to $35.
They should probably give
us
shares in the company.
I have ordered at least 6 pair of the flyest prescription glasses.
That's awesome.
And again, I paid anywhere from like $12 to $35. They come in and you can make all the adjustments that you can at the eye doctor. Do you want a tint on it? Do you want to make sure it's got the blue, whatever? But like, extremely inexpensive. And I said to myself, this is going to have an impact on the insurance industry a little bit because you don't need that portion anymore.
That's awesome. That's absolutely. And I've never heard of that. I have heard that there are several designer eyewear companies who all use the same manufacturer,
yes,
and that we're overpaying from that perspective. But I think we're spinning off into a whole nother segment.
Yeah. So other things I know that I think people should be looking at is the HSA option, the health savings account option. I'm a big fan of this account. There used to be, and I think still is, the flexible spending account. That's the old, that's like the,
that's going away.
That's like the predecessor. That's like the dinosaur. The HSA, I think, is a great account for people to enroll in.
I agree with you. I think if you can make a plan of what your healthcare expenses will look like for the upcoming year, the health savings account is incredible.
So here's what I like about the HSA. So number one, so the flexible spending account, the challenge was that you had to use all the money up by 12/31 every year, or you lost the money. So like your budgeting was super important. But with an HSA, you can roll it over from year to year. So for a lot of folks, later in life, they're going to have some medical expenses, right? So this is a way to put away money now. Like if you're married, you could put away over $7,000 a year on top of what you're putting into your 401k and IRA, that even if you're not using it now, it's going to grow on a tax-deferred basis. And later in life, if you need some expensive stuff, you now have an extra pool of money to pull from. And you can grow, you can invest in this account. So I'm a big fan of this account.
I agree with you. And then I think what the flexibility that a lot of people like also is how you can access this money, like on a credit card.
Yes.
You know, that makes it very easy for a lot of people, because prior to that, people were using companies like Care Credit and that kind of thing, where they were actually taking credit out to make health care purchases. But that health savings account kind of rules some of that out. So I agree with you, Alan, from that perspective.
So we've only got a couple minutes left. Like, what other things should we absolutely know? Any myths, any tips that we should be paying attention to right now during this open enrollment period?
I think one of the things that we should definitely pay attention to is that we should be involved. I think too often we let these dates pass us by. We don't think that we need to come to the table. We don't think that we need to be involved in these meetings. We don't think that we need to pay attention to these deadlines and dates. And oftentimes it's our inability to get involved which causes gaps in our health coverage. So that's a big deal for me.
But on that note, life insurance is often offered during this package of benefit selection. Like, should folks buy all the life insurance? I know that they should buy life insurance outside of work too, but is it economical to buy all the life insurance, all the extras that they allow you to buy through your employer?
When we're talking about people who work for a private employer or a public employer, right? Life insurance is offered every year. Many companies will tell you, we'll give you one times your salary towards life insurance, right? For some people, if you make $50,000 a year, you have $50,000 in life insurance. But if you have 2 children and you're the only breadwinner in the home, right? Right? $50,000 one time to your children is not going to help them be able to continue on. And a lot of times you can buy up, and those conversations happen at the open enrollment period. And that's the information that so many people don't get. So I've had people tell me they didn't know how much life insurance, they knew they had life insurance through their job, but they didn't know how much. And they don't go to the open enrollment meetings annually. So I know that they carry the basic coverage. Oftentimes you can buy up for let's say $20-$30 a month to get 5, 6, 7 times your salary towards insurance, towards life insurance. And the good thing about this is that when you're buying insurance with a group, you're not being rated on your actual health. When you buy insurance through your employer at a group rate, you get the benefit of what we call adverse selection. You get the benefit of the group making a purchase for insurance. You're not being individually underwritten on your actual health, the MIB that we talked about earlier. When you buy life insurance yourself, right, supplemental life insurance outside of work, and you don't work for it, and you, if let's say you work for an employer, when you buy it yourself, you're being individually underwritten on your actual health. When you buy it with a group, you're not being individually underwritten.
But that could help you if you're old and smoke 3 packs of cigarettes every week, or it could it hurt you if you're young and healthy, if you're 23 and you run 4 marathons a year? Like, is it possible that you'd be better off just to buy the insurance on your own?
Can I tell you that some people are not insurable unless they work for an employer and get the benefit of group insurance? Mm. There are some people whose health is just so poor that they would not be able to qualify for a life insurance policy in the private life care market, being individually underwritten on their health. The only way they can get it is if they get it through a group plan. And so in those situations, you most definitely should buy the max that's available to you.
Okay, so I know y'all have way more questions, but we are out of time. Mm. So luckily, it is very easy to get in touch with Momentum Risk Management. Go to momentum-risk.com. You will see all the information you need to get in touch with Sylvia K. Alston to ask more questions. Most importantly, for a lot of these situations to get outside life insurance, again, one times your salary ain't gonna cut it. So there's a lot of other things that you may want to know, that you may want to inquire about just yourself. Again, go to momentum-risk.com and you can get in touch with the Momentum Risk Management team. But Sylvia, thank you so much for your time.
Love to see you guys.
We are going to have more conversations on other podcast episodes. But for now, we'll be back next week. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Ellen Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.